In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah. I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Nothing prepares you for F-Zero, created for the new Super Nintendo Entertainment System. You won't believe the power. You won't believe the control. You won't believe the jumps, the curves, or the feeling you get until you experience it for yourself.
Wow, that's fast.
F-Zero for the ultimate G-Force, only on the next generation from Nintendo. Now you're racing with power, superpower.
Oh. Now you're racing with power.
Damn, it didn't work. There it is.
There's the tune.
Hey, what are y'all doing? It's time for Play Retro, and you might be familiar with it. I'm your host, Scott Johnson, and Captain Falcon is a huge jerk.
He's a big jerk, and I am your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I can't steer this crazy future hover thingy. Miyamoto, yeah. Take the wheel. Ah, F-Zero, I'm out.
You played a lot of F-Zero, I noticed, in the last
Dude, I played so much F-Zero, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to make it to Wipeout, but that's okay, because I played a lot of Wipeout back in the day, so I think I may be okay.
Yeah, it's all balanced out. It's fine. Yeah. I kind of had the same ratio back in the old days. It was a lot of Wipeout and barely any F-Zero. A little bit on N64, but not a ton on the SNES. And then
spoiler, I loved F-Zero beyond what I thought it would.
It's really good. It's real good. Turns out we're going to talk about both of those games and some of the other stuff going on around them on today's episode. But before we get to all of that, I want to thank Justin Hall, who sent me a PSAX classic. I meant
a PS classic. A PSAC. Maybe we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks.
Yep. I got a controller here. Classic. The device is plugged in over there, but here's your controller for your PlayStation Classic. Got it in the mail. Whoops. Let me pull my camera up here. And there it is. It's your classic non-DualShock edition of the controller. They didn't add the DualShock for a couple of years into the device's life cycle. And I had one of those at one point. I do not know where it went, but anyway, do you know, so these are USB. Do these work? If I plug this into a PC to use as a controller for some like retro games or whatever, would that work? Yes. Does it?
Absolutely will. As a matter of fact, I went one step beyond. I use it on my Mr. FPGA whenever they released the PlayStation Core not that long ago. Hmm. I think it's still actually in beta, but I have it and I've tested it and it works great with the controller. That USB thing, it just plugs into just anything. It's low powered, so it just plugs it right in.
That's awesome, because most of the time these guys go all proprietary with this crap. The Nintendo ones are proprietary.
Nintendo?
The freaking Sega ones are USB, but they don't work on anything else. I don't know what that
really
means.
I thought it worked on my Mister. I have not tried it on the PC.
You should try it,
though.
Maybe the Mister would use it. The PC definitely doesn't for me. I can't get it to go. But I didn't try these yet, so I'll definitely give this a shot. Anyway, very happy that he sent that, and the hacking is already underway, because right after he sent that and I hooked it all up, Brian sent me the package file that I used a USB stick for, and boom, I now, whenever I plug this baby in there, this old 8 gig freaking 1.0 SanDisk slow ass USB stick. They are really slow.
It was so much fun watching Scott transfer 2 hours worth of data to an old thumb drive.
It took forever. It said it would take 16 minutes. It took an hour and 47 minutes. So
Yeah. So the reason why it takes so long is because when you first do it, when you're first doing this hack, and we'll talk about it more later.
Yeah.
When you first do this hack, you have to do it on a low power USB because the ports on the front of the PlayStation Classic have very low power, which means it's only going to work with a USB with a little bit of power. Yeah. Or you can get this little adapter that plugs into the back of your device, and it splits it out, and it gives you more ports, more USB ports on the backside,
and works.
It's powered off of like an Android type plug that little.
Micro USB. Yeah, it's the worst USB ever devised, but yes, that's what it is.
It's the hardest to plug. It's like the USB A. Of power plugs,
hate
it's the freaking worst.
But if you bend it, good luck, dude. Yeah. You've just bent the thing and it's broken and you're screwed. It sucks.
It happens so often. Now, I've posted on Amazon and on my Twitter account the devices that I attach to my PlayStation Classic to make it a little bit easier for me. Mm-hmm. It's a little USB hub, and it has a Wi-Fi dongle. It's got a little faster drive, because once you plug into the backside, you can get a faster drive, so you don't have to worry about how slow it is.
Yeah.
And I also have this 8-bit do Bluetooth universal Bluetooth adapters that I can put my PlayStation 4 is the one I prefer, because I'm mostly playing is PlayStation games on there, so it works quite well.
Yeah.
But I think the whole little setup I have, which I can take with me and do on other devices as well, like a PC, I think it sent me back like $30 or $40, something like that. So, I mean,
yeah, wasn't bad.
But
it looks
like a
fancy vape pen, by the way.
It kind of does like a vape pen. They suggested this other one that I'm holding up. You can't see it, but it's basically a little more basic. It looks like a real just USB hub.
It's like a hub,
dongle. Yeah, it's like a little hub. The other thing I have is more like like you said, it looks like a little race car. It kind of looks like the F-Zero race car.
Yeah, like a little F-Zero race car that you'd suck your vape juice out of is what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. And it allows me, the way it's stacked, I can plug in that 8-bit do. They suggested getting this one and the 8-bit do, and I'm like, you can't do that. There's not enough width on this stupid thing, so I'm like, you're out of here, trash.
Yeah, don't do that. I like your solution.
Yep.
I think I'm going
to
do it.
But also, in addition to getting that one for Scott, we had an extra one. Dennis sent us this one. We have an extra for giveaway. So we got to figure out how to give this away. Still in the box, PlayStation Classic. Thank you guys so much for sending this in. I can't wait to get this out to somebody. And then maybe perhaps you'll want to also, mod this thing. It is really the best deal right now if you're looking for a small form factor emulator, and because Raspberry Pis are really hard to find right now, and these things are in stock everywhere.
Yeah, you can get these anywhere. And there's the hack that Brian had me do, despite slow USB transfer, once that was all done, it's really pretty easy. And if you're used to working with cores and ROM files and that sort of thing, that stuff was super simple. And also, you can't buy a SNES or NES Classic anymore because they are no longer making
production.
Those. Yep, they don't make them.
Right.
So
you can get them, but you won't like the price.
You won't like what you pay, son. Anyway, we're glad to be back and getting going here. Oh, you did something else too, didn't you? Speaking of PlayStation, you got a PS2 Slim. Tell us what the hell happened there. Why did you get that?
Absolutely. So friend of the show and friend of mine, Gary and Danny, came down. They live in South Carolina, and they came down for the Festival of Stars that we have here locally, and we have a bunch of local bands. And he brought me, Danny and Gary brought me this PS2 Slim Silver that is back here. You can't see it, but you can imagine it if you can. And it matches my Silver JVC D series, as well as my GameCube Silver. And it's silver. It's not gray. It's not like the PlayStation gray. It's all that 90s silver, that late 90s silver technology.
It's plastic. It's plastic, but the finish is like a weird silver finish. It's weird.
Yeah, they mostly call them like either like frost silver or something like that. You're like snow silver, something pearl. I think it's sometimes referred to as
pearl. They don't do it anymore. You can't get these anymore. As far as I know, there's no consumer electronics pieces or parts that look like that anymore. That is an old school thing.
And I'm telling you, it looks smooth. I love it so much. I started trying to think, how can I make this whole area nothing but silver stuff? So I went on a search for all silver consoles that I could find. There is a PS3 silver. It looks freaking fantastic. It's a slim. Mm-hmm. And I've ordered already an Xbox 360 Halo, which is silver. It has a 250 gigabyte drive, and it comes with the Halo controller. And I got a really good deal on it. It's, let's just say I spent less than $100, and it is in really good shape, and it should be here very shortly. At least it was in good shape the way it was presented.
Sure, sure. No, that's awesome. Did you see that the Slim, that guy, the YouTuber made, took a PlayStation 5 and put it in a Slim form factor? Cool.
Is that the one? I think I did watch that one. Is that the one where he used all those copper plates and stuff?
Yes.
And he, like,
it is so badass. It's so freaking cool.
That was so impractical, but so badass. He put water cooling. He actually built the water cooling into the copper.
Yeah.
And what was really funny, though, is that big-ass power supply that he had to use to run that thing, because it was like six times bigger than the PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, the power supply. See, there's the casing. But the way he had to do power was pretty nutty. But look at that thing, that little slim, little shiny, freaking brass-ass looking. Yeah. Ooh, sexy beast, man.
Totally impractical. But, dude, what a great little project. I enjoyed it. What, do you know his name? I would like
to it's DIY Perks is the name of the channel.
Yeah.
And you can go check that out and see what he did.
It was quite entertaining. He took you through the whole process. He had ups and downs and highs and lows. So
yeah,
good entertainment.
Plus he's tearing apart a console people still can't freaking buy on the regular. So it's like, oh man, what if you F that up? There goes your PlayStation.
Yeah.
He'd probably be all right.
Yeah. You know,
he's got 5 million followers. He'll be fine.
I'm not judging him too much, because you know, with, I pretty much reinvest everything that we get, like from my support that I get from Patreon, that kind of stuff. I'm a junkie. Mm-hmm. I'm a junkie, and you guys are helping me become even a worse junkie.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I thought, like the other day, I found out something I never heard of before. It's called a Net Yorozi. It's for the PS1. It's a consumer development box.
Okay.
So it's not like the big dev box. They originally cost like $7.99 or something, and they're black. It's like the PS1, and it allows you to you plug it into your PC and code.
They're dev
and
kits.
I saw one.
Right?
Yeah, saw one. Yeah, they're like dev kits, but for consumer dev kits.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, usually you have to pay a whole bunch of some licensing fees, non-disclosure agreements, everything. You could just order this one, and it would just arrive, and you could fiddle around and make all kinds of indie games. I want to talk a little bit more about that later, but let's just say I understand the insanity, because I was like, yeah, $9.99 is not bad, because I found one on eBay for $999, and I was thinking, with inflation, that's not so bad. That's about what it should cost.
Yeah, probably. That's a way to justify it, sure.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing.
To justify it. I could quit drinking anytime I want.
Yeah, and it's black, you say? Oh, yeah, look at this.
Yeah, it's black. I put a picture of it, yeah.
That's cool, dude.
But that was one of the games. Someone had created an F-Zero game for the PS1 and using real 3D. I don't know, I'm getting ahead of myself. But let's just say it came up and I learned a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, don't be. He's like a cocaine addict, except we want you to support it. So
that's right.
Keep supporting us on
our
Patreon.
I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah, it's a great time. You are. Yeah. Brian's having a renaissance period here. He really is.
I love it.
He's having a great time. So am I. So thanks everybody for your awesome support. We'll talk more about Patreon later. For now, though, we got to get into this damn thing.
Shall we play a game?
This week's games.
Games.
Sometimes it's a game. Sometimes it's a genre. Sometimes it's a whole company. You know, we just do whatever. But this week, we're talking about two specific series. For the most part, there's a few little spinoffs, a few little alternatives. We'll talk about those. But we're talking about those anti-grav hover racer games of yore, specifically F-Zero and Wipeout. And these two in particular, I think, are the focus because, A, they're both excellent series in their own right. But, B, they competed. These were very competitive things. There was a camp of people who felt like F-Zero was the only way to go. There were other people that felt like Wipeout was the only way to go. And How do we feel today? Well, you might be surprised. So anyway, we're going to jump right into it. Let's talk about them. F-Zero, of course, the Super Nintendo title, F-Zero. The game only existed because they were like, check it out. We got to use something with our cool, ugly, rotating texture shit. We did, what's that called? Mode 7. We got to
check out our mode. You should check out our Mode 7.
Yeah.
1 through 6,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's all about Mode 7.
Everything's in the Mode 7.
Yeah, Mode 6 was ugly. Mode 7 is where it was at. And as a result, you got a game that sounded a lot like this. Now, as you can hear, there's somebody racing through there real quick. It's a very speedy game. You got your hover cars. You got your Captain, not Planet, what's his name?
Captain Falcon.
Captain Falcon. Why did I call him Captain Planet?
Because that is the time period.
That is the
era. We call a lot of people Captain. Captain Nin, Captain Planet, Captain Falcon,
yeah.
Captain Antonil.
Some of you, oh my gosh, there's a throwback. Some of you may only know Captain Falcon from his appearance and O-penis in the game Super Smash Brothers. He's one of the characters in there. He's just kind of a douchebag, and that's fine. We don't care. It's okay.
The more I researched about why Captain Falcon was such a douchebag,
yeah.
We kind of did a tour. Nintendo of America made that happen. They literally shamed. So the Japanese Nintendo presented F-Zero and said, hey, look at this. And they were kind of – the American Nintendo was kind of like – can you give us something kind of cool?
Mm-hmm.
And so they went back and wrote a comic and all kinds of story because you don't see Captain Falcon in the game, right?
No. As far as I know, you don't. I think it's always, at least
don't.
Not in that original game. He was always just tucked in
right,
there.
Right, right, right.
And I think maybe it's possible he showed up in the N64 game, maybe, or the GBA game or something. There's some kind of cutscene-y stuff in the future games. But yes, in this original one, he may as well have been a car.
I wouldn't doubt it, but yeah, Nintendo America, they were kind of like, could you give us something kind of cool? And they said, well, the Americans like, let's give them attitude, let's give them Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
And that's basically what we got, Captain Falcon, but not cool like Judge Dredd. Just
no. Attitude. And also, if you were a Sony head back then and Wipeout came out, this was not cool compared to Wipeout. Like, this was little kids' hover racer car. At least that's how people saw it. And I'm here to tell you, once again, like often happens with old Nintendo games that maybe you get, you know, a little dismissive about at the time. Sometimes that stuff holds up better in the future than the competitor does. And this is a case of that. I played more Wipeout than I care to admit. Like a lot of Wipeout in my day. So much Wipeout. And I love all the new iterations of it. I have the Omega Collection on the PS5, which were actually launched on the PS4, but it runs great on the 5. And it's a beautiful game, and there are a bunch of spinoffs from it. And Wipeout was hugely influential, no question. Stylistically, it's better. Music's better. Conceptually better. But gameplay, like just raw, how much fun am I having? I think F-Zero wins.
F-Zero nails the gameplay with its simplicity. Thank you again, Nintendo, killing it with the gameplay. I was the same way. I was kind of like, I don't want to play that. That looks stupid and childish.
Mm.
And I'll tell you, I played it this past week, and I was amazed and blown away with how well it handled, how deep it was. I didn't understand before. I was always like, oh, you just race around. You're just in hover cars. This is stupid.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, you got a pit area where you don't really pit. You have to go through the little pit area to power back up.
Recharge, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, you got to recharge because whenever you hit the walls or any objects or anything, your power decreases because I'm assuming your shield is having to be activated.
Yep.
And so you don't want to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to blow up like Free Jack, what's his name, blew up. Remember Free Jack? Remember that movie?
Free Jack? No.
No, Jack. Free Jack. Who was driving the F1 car in Free Jack?
I don't remember. Was it Whitney?
Oh.
Not Whitney Houston.
It was Whitney Houston. That's exactly who it was.
Who am I thinking of? Who played Blade? What's wrong with me?
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes. Was he in that?
I don't remember now. I just remember. I thought Mick Jagger was the one in it. Emilio Estevez, I think, is the one who actually.
Oh, okay. You know what? Now I'm. Yeah, this is. But, I'm thinking of the wrong thing.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean to get on a Free Jack. Even though F1 and F-Zero. Hey, wait a minute. I get it.
Yeah,
they love F1, F1 racing. F-Zero. This is based off a F1 game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, F-Zero.
Mm. Yeah, clever. You get it. Do you get what they've done there?
Clever girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I was with you, man. I was like, it's not complex at all. But then I found out all this stuff, and it's like, oh, this is way more complicated than I thought.
Yeah, there's more game. There's just more game here.
Balance of
gameplay. Yeah, it's more gameplay, and it's a better. I don't know. Again, this isn't. I'm not slamming on Wipeout. In particular, I'm talking about Wipeout 1. Wipeout 1 was amazing.
Wipeout 1 was not playable.
No, not like it is. Not like I thought it was. Like I played it here this week, thinking because I still listen to that soundtrack. I still think so fondly on those Wipeout days. The better Wipeout game is XL by 100 miles.
Yeah,
XL is the game. I think that's the game they really wanted to make, and one is, you know, proof of concept. It worked, whatever, and it had the right, you know, beginnings or whatever. But Wipeout XL, and then Wipeout Fusion, and Wipeout 2080, whatever the hell it was called, and the Omega Collection, and all these Fury, all these Wipeout games since, excellent games that are based primarily on XL. XL was the game.
And, XL was the game, and. Yeah. We're not going to go all the way down the Wipeout list because there are so freaking many. We're basically going to stop at F-Zero Maximum Velocity, which was 2001 for the Game Boy Advance, because after that, there's just so many. Every system you can think of is like, let's put a Wipeout on it,
including the N64, which famously got a version of Wipeout that was called Wipeout 64. It's so uninspired. What a dumb name.
The same year as they released their competition, the F-Zero, the F-Zero X for the N64.
Yeah, that was a weird thing because they never put another Wipeout game on a Nintendo console. What? That was it.
Yeah, blew my mind. Yeah, and finally, we're on that Nintendo 64, finally we can do a Nintendo that does real 3D and not that Mode 7 fakery that we had with the F-Zero, which is still fine.
There is something unique about it, but I was happy to get into the true 3D space. And I think the N64 game is pretty good. They haven't made one since, I don't think.
The F-Zero games?
Yeah. What am I thinking of that they've done? No, that's
They made some after, even after X. There was, Maximum Velocity, and then there was a couple other things. There's a whole bunch of little...
Yeah, but no mainline consoles, like nothing on the Wii U, nothing on the Wii, nothing on the Switch yet. Like they kind of let it sit.
I think it's been, I'm not 100% sure on that, but it seems like I said, I could just kind of stop and cut off where I was researching to, which was 2001. Yeah. But yeah.
And unlike that, you know, Wipeout was like, hey, we're just going to keep making these. Even though the developer who made really the iconic stuff, the early stuff, is long gone. Psygnosis doesn't exist anymore. It'll go folded into other Sony studios. They're not really, you know, that anymore. And along with about, I don't know, a handful of 2-3 other games, that was kind of it for them. And then, who, you know, the Psygnosis doesn't exist in any sort of like cohesive mass anymore.
Which is too bad because they were really just killing it. And Wipeout was released originally as a launch title. We missed it like very shortly here in the U.S. as a launch title, and it was only like a couple of weeks, I think.
Which is but a bummer because it would have been the perfect launch title. Perfect.
It really would have been. It was a launch title in the U.K. and because what rave music? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, you got all that. That music, the house of music going on the Wipeout. People,
so the original, let's talk about that for a second. So the original game, which let me play a little audio from. Here you go.
3, 2.
This would change too, this yelling. Go! All right, so here, this music here.
Hello, who turned on the Prodigy? Hello.
And a lot of music like it for Wipeout 1. This is music by a band, well, you can call it a band, quote unquote, called Cold Storage, but really... It's just it's a Tim dude. Wright. Yeah, it's Tim Wright. He's a cool dude, though.
It's Tim Wright.
He went on and did a bunch of other stuff, and including some more modern games. In fact, just a couple years ago, put together a big, what's it called? Unleashed? No. Shoot. Forgot the name. I'll look it up before we're done. But there's a whole new album of remastered tracks from these original Wipeout games. And it is amazing, if you want to go here.
Tim, I mean, okay, so Wipeout's, without the music, Wipeout's not very much. I mean,
no, I agree. Wipeout without the music is like Star Wars without sound effects and George Lucas, sound effects, special effects, and and John Williams. If you don't have those three aspects into Star Wars, that's a boring ass 70s bad sci-fi.
You're pretty much just playing Mario Kart with no characters, is what you're playing on Wipeout, and hover cars. I mean, that's without the music, but the attitude of that music, it makes it darker, oddly, somehow. Mm-hmm. It makes it more adulty.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, and it totally does.
I loved it. It was scratching all the itches in 1995 for me. It was like, yeah.
Let me play a tiny bit of this. So this is from, okay, the album I was thinking of is Cold Storage. What's his name again?
Wright.
James White.
Mr. Wright.
Yeah, Mr. Wright. Mr. I keep saying White. Yeah, it's Wright.
Tim Wright.
Tim Wright. He did this track called Canada on Wipeout XL. So he still did some music on the second one, but only three tracks. Everything else was like stuff you had to, you know, license, like Prodigy and freaking, who else? You mentioned that. Who else? Fusion, or not Fusion.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember their names. Anyway, a whole bunch of like, you know, Chemical Brothers, that kind of stuff. So So at that point, you were getting into licensed music, and it was kind of an early version of that. But that first game and those few tracks were insane. Here's just a taste of Canada. I love this song so much. I'm just going to do a little, let me skip ahead here. It has a slow start. I could put this on and just drift into Happy Town anytime.
Yeah, I mean, you're trancing out, right? That's why the E in Wipeout stands for ecstasy, because you trip balls and you listen to the music. Everybody knows that. That's the reason why there's big E in there, middle of it.
Duh. Yeah, it was for me. Okay, I don't want to understate this, and I'm not overstating when I say that Wipeout launched my interest, my since then lifelong interest in electronic music of all kinds.
Yeah.
Not just EDM, not just, you know, house, not just, you know, all that. Not even specific genres, but all of it came from me playing Wipeout. And if you remember those days, those discs that you bought the game on, it was a little black PlayStation disc. They didn't have good copy protection back in those days. And you could take that into your car and pop it into your car. And as long as you skip track one, and do make sure you do that or else you'll wreck your freaking stereo and make your ears bleed.
Your ears.
Because track one is data, so you're not going to get any songs there. But the entirety of that soundtrack was on there. And I wouldn't be surprised if I got more RPMs of those two discs, this and Wipeout XL, in my car than I did on the game. I loved it. Like, adored it. And ever since then, game music, mainstream music, anything that delved deep into electronica in this way, bands like Left Field, my brain's dying. Even up to modern stuff like, you know, more modern stuff like Deadmau5 and others. To me, they all have their roots in this. Crystal Method is another one.
Maybe that's the good stuff.
Completely hooked on those guys.
I didn't really think about it where I really kind of got my passion for this kind of stuff, but I think you might be right. That might be where I kind of first really noticed this kind of music, because this is not something that got airplay in the States on the radio, so you wouldn't hear it unless you saw Prodigy on MTV late at night or something.
Yeah,
or
you see out there going, smack my bitch up. Well, this is
bad,
but listen to this.
So, you know, if you were watching Hackers or something, maybe.
Yeah, Hackers had like that. Hackers had a lot of good early electronica in it. You're right. And someone in the chat says Jean-Michel Jarre got him into electronic. I listened to him too before that. Like, listen, I'm not saying they invented it. I'm saying these games kicked off a particular kind of it that I've never gotten away from. I love it. I've loved it since. So if I had any recommendation for everybody, it would be this. Check out Slipstream, which is this Volume 1 and Volume 2 compilation of Cold Storage's music for those games. And then also check out any number, like either if you're using Spotify, Apple Music, whatever major music service, somebody is making multiple playlists of all the songs ever used in any Wipeout game. And you'll be in heaven.
Not Bonnie Raitt Slipstream then, okay.
Yeah, not Bonnie Raitt. You don't want Raitt. Is it Raitt or Raitt?
It's Raitt.
Okay.
It's Raitt. But I try to do rating so I don't accidentally say rat.
Yeah, you don't want to say rat because rat's a very different group. Anyway, so that's a side note kind of a little bit, but I love that about those games. So what did Nintendo do? They turned around and they said, hey, y'all, how about some of this?
3, 2, 1.
Sounds like a dying computer.
It does.
All right, so this is sound from F-Zero for the N64.
Yeah, and this is the X, right? F-Zero X.
Yeah, and it was good. It didn't set the world on fire, I think, like the original game did. Because, you know, everybody had played that, and now we're onto a new console, and it's not that big a deal. And I would say that same thing would happen to Wipeout. People would say, well, I've played Wipeout. What's new? And the answer is, you know, not that much. It's kind of the same.
And it's kind of interesting because developers of F-Zero have been asked over the years, when are we going to get a new F-Zero?
Yeah.
And it's like, we've kind of done everything that we want to do with it. There's really no place to go unless there's a compelling reason to come back to it. We're not going to really do it. And then Wipeout's like, here, hold my Red Bull. I've got another version of Wipeout.
Yeah.
And I appreciate both sides because I don't mind paying, you know, as long as it's not something crazy, I don't mind paying for another Wipeout because I love additional tracks, additional music, additional cars, maybe leagues, you know, just give me a little twist. Me a little twist and I'm in again.
Yeah.
I'm in again.
The difference with this game and the difference between these two games is clearly it's really a tonal thing, right? Whereas, you know, Wipeout decided to be very cyberpunk, future sport, you know, especially with XL, which we'll get to in a minute. They really strapped in on that. Whereas Nintendo said, no, this is still kind of a goofball Nintendo product. And, you know, people have big heads and dumb cars and
Have you read the comic that was included with the original F-Zero?
Some of it, yes. It's pretty bad.
It's weird because it's like everybody in the future, what is it supposed to be, 25 something? Anyway, the F-Zero takes way further down. It's like hundreds and hundreds of years after Wipeout would have existed. But everybody apparently only races as a side hustle or something, mm-hmm. or a way to take out the aggressions because they all have jobs. Like, not Blue Falcon, what is it, stupid? Captain Falcon. He's a bounty hunter by day.
Sure.
And when he's not bounty hunting, he's always looking for a thrill. Yeah. So he's got to hop in his F-Zero and and do it. Now, the thing that really stood out about the F-Zero X to me was I finally got to use an analog stick. And that was big for me because using the D-pad to steer that stupid F-Zero in the first one was kind of a pain in the butt. It helped a lot that all you were doing is controlling with the D-pad on the F-Zero on the first one, the SNES, you're just controlling the rudder. Mm-hmm. And then you can use your bumpers on the front of the controller to kind of like do a drift or a slide.
Right.
And that would help you turn.
Yeah, that's true. That is different. Well, the bumpers did that also in Wipeout, but they were more about fine-tuning your steering and not steering.
Yeah.
Which sucks, though, because, all right, let's get to this next one. Wipeout XL comes out. Let me play a little of that.
3, 2,
see, like, 1, they're already going more computery there. You hear that?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, what if we went really hard on, like, this dark sci-fi kind of thing where it's not a lot of humans.
Autopilot engaged.
Do you guys remember Wipeout XL had what's the name of the design company? They were world-renowned design firm that made all the iconography. Oh, can't remember it now.
Shoot. That's such a stupid name. It's
the Designers Republic. Like, that's it. Chat room.
That's
says.
It. Designers Republic.
Designers Republic. Yeah. They put their hands all on this one. And it showed like it was like, this is kind of like world building and imagery stuff that you're serious about. Like you can tell they were serious about it. It wasn't just like some guy going, well, I think this looks cool. It was more like, what's the cohesive feel and look of our entire game? And
here's that Red Bull.
Yeah. They love the Red Bull.
They love the Red Bull. It looks so much. This is the one everybody loved. This is the one I loved. This is the one you loved.
But that goes to your point about control. I was so pissed. This game comes out. And then right not long after this, the DualShock comes out. It's an extra thing you got to go buy. Doesn't come with the system. You got to buy a DualShock controller. This is the first analog answer that Sony had to Nintendo's N64. And it had two sticks, which was awesome. And this game never supported it. There was no patching back then. So, you know, you're stuck with what you had. And they never released a new version of it, which I was willing to pay for if they would have just done it so I could control it with a normal ass stick, and it drove me crazy. I was so annoyed, so pissed off about that at the time.
I wasn't pissed off about it. I don't think I really noticed because I really hadn't gotten, because I don't know, I think I probably played more Wipeout when I first got it before I really started playing with anything like an analog stick. So I was still D-padding it pretty hard.
Yeah.
Still D-padding it pretty hard, Scott.
Yeah.
Now, Wipeout's way, you know, it has a lot of things in common with, you know, with F-Zero being, you know, Gravity Racer. You get these floaty controls, drifting, and set in the future. But what you have here is you have a lot more Mario Kart, where you got power ups you have to go over top of to get the weapons, and you can shoot at people, and you got the thing that I hate the most. Mines. The stall.
Oh, the stall.
God, I hated the stall.
Yeah, the stall sucked. I don't like anything that slows down my momentum. Basically, you just describe
why I can do that on my own, thanks.
You basically describe why I've never really liked Sonic, because Sonic was so fast that anytime you had to stop dead in Sonic, ruined the game. Yeah. It's like, come on, what are we doing here?
Blows your flow.
Yeah, blows your flow. That's a good way of putting it.
Blows your flow. You don't like it.
I did like every time you fired a missile, or someone around you did, you'd hear this.
Missile.
Yeah. I like I really dug that. But I love all the iconography in the game. I mean, you don't even know what half the weapons do. You're like, I just did a pickup.
Yeah.
What does that symbol mean? It's some kind of, you know, it looks like the old, the LCD clocks or wherever they were. They had the little symbol shapes, you know, they light up, little parts of it would light up to make the letters. It kind of looks like that. And it's like, I don't know what I picked up. Let me try shooting it. And even to this day, some of the things that I do, I'm like, I don't know what it is, dude. I pushed a button and things start flying out of the back of my ship. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to. It's a little hard. They got better down the road to making that stuff, because some of those icons they're just too weird. It's like, for me, it made me feel like this is the future where there's stuff we don't understand, man. Like, it was complicated.
Not smart enough to understand the future, man.
Yeah, I don't know. It was something like that had it going for itself.
Speaking of not being smart, I did like how the Europeans this came out of out of Europe, and so they were trying to think of the names for the different regions, as we used to do.
Yeah.
And of course, they got Wipeout 2097.
Yeah.
And they felt like the Americans wouldn't be able to understand the idea of how time works.
What? Okay.
They gave us XL, I guess, because we're into extra large things.
Well,
I don't know. I was kind of offended.
They did put on there, you know, it says both things on the box, but I was always wondering why that is. Did they really think that we just couldn't handle it, so they had to put...
According to some interviews with the developers in the... I forget exactly who did the naming, but according to some interviews I read, that was kind of how it was. It was
That sounds like business people, not devs.
The Americans won't get it.
Yeah, well, they're wrong. I got it just fine.
Oh, I got it. I understand 2097.
Yeah, that's a long time from now.
It's 100 years in the future.
I done did the math. That is some time passing. Anyway, it's a cool thing. And if you want to hear Missile, then go check it out. Now, Nintendo decided, hey, that Wipeout sure is popular on this hot PlayStation unit deal. We should probably get that over here. And they did, and it sounded like this. Oh, why is that so quiet? Hold on.
It's so quiet.
That's the wrong one. Hold on here. Where did
That was F-Zero.
Oh, did I lose it? Oh, no, here. No. Oh, did I not put it on here? Crap. I thought I did. I'm an idiot.
Oh,
I forgot to do this.
It's the same one. No, it's not. It should be
It's
in
the
there.
Same. It's just like XL. It's the same video. I mean, really, except less jittery.
It really is. I guess maybe it was just a direct port.
It's just like a port.
Thing?
Yeah. The difference was, and the thing that annoyed me at the time, was yay. It's like, I got my control. That's awesome. Got my analog control. But guess what I don't get? Real music tracks.
Because we're on a cartridge instead of a CD.
Yeah, they made it all.
N64.
They made it all sound like MIDI music, and it kind of ruined the experience, if I'm honest.
It really, Wipeout has to have the blasting music. I mean, it has to be in stereo. It's got to be funky. I got to turn the lights down because the game is dark.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got to turn the lights down. It's not like F-Zero. F-Zero is all bright and happy and funkadelic, and you know, you feel like a robot. I'm a robot.
Yeah, but again, as a reminder, the game, you know, gameplay was there. It's just the capacity is not there to have all this music, and so what you end up with instead is this compressed, you know, cartridge music. Today, you have the kind of capacity on a cartridge like a Switch cartridge, no problem. Play all the stereo music you want. Digital download, no problem. It's all there. But they didn't have this back then. You had a fat cartridge and no room for any music. And I don't know. That kind of ruined it. And I know they knew this. I know they're just sitting around in that office going, oh, shit, you think this is going to work? This music's done. Yeah, it'll work. It'll work. It'll work. And they pushed it out. They forced it out.
So how deep did you ever get into the Wipeout or F-Zero for that matter? Because they kind of layer a lot of things like, you know, classes and leagues and different things. I never really even looked at it. I mean, I think I played the same first selection league and class in everything I played.
Oh,
and usually just I had a preference on a couple of, you know, maps. But for the most part, I just wanted to hop on and just I wanted to go around in circles and, you know, shoot at stuff.
For me, it was the opposite. I wanted to wreck these games. I wanted to use every corner and every cranny of new, you know, unlocking new hovercraft, unlocking new leagues and new companies, basically, is what they were that you would, you know, race for. And that meant faster ships, but maybe less control or more control, right, slower, or, you know, these different advantages, disadvantages and stuff. But I loved unlocking all that stuff. And in particular, the Omega Collection, which is Wipeout XL for PS3, and then all of the Vita/PSP games remastered, or remade, I guess, in the right, XL engine. I don't know why the original, or not XL, shit, what am I thinking of? XP, PP,
Pure? Whatever.
No, not Pure, but Pure is Pure's one of them. Pure's in there. But they took all those games and remastered them, basically. And they each had a different, or had multiple. So the Omega Collection has multiple, basically it's multiple games. So if you want to go, right, clear one out and do the Fury one, you can unlock all of that stuff. So you kind of choose at the beginning which one you want to do. Anyway, I love all of that. Like, much as it is fun to just pick up and play, my goal was I'm going to win this damn league. I'm going to go all the way, baby.
I think the thing that they keep, you know, they keep going, nah, we're not going to do another F-Zero. We've already done everything we can. I think Wipeout's got it right. I mean, keep making new tracks, keep making new ships. I mean, mm-hmm, it's just like anything else. I have Need for Speed on so many freaking systems. As a matter of fact, why don't you give me an F-Zero where we're getting chased by, you know, a future cop? Or something, you know,
yeah.
Hot Pursuit F-Zero or something.
Oh, man.
Give it to me. I'm in. I am in.
Yeah, Wipeout Pure was awesome. Chat room's talking about
it. I mean, have Rocky race me around.
Yeah, Rocky. Get old Rocky in there. Why not? Sylvester Stallone, I think, is who you're trying to think
Stallone
of.
Stallone, he is. He's going to, I can stop and get some Taco Bell of the future.
Yep.
And yeah, you know, and Blade can be there and it'll be freaking awesome.
Yep. And you'll hear this. Oh no, Sylvester Stallone has fired a missile at me.
A missile. And you have to like have like some kind of like a game where you do like three shells.
Mm hmm.
You know, yeah. So you can flush the toilet. It'd be great.
It would be great. I'm not going to complain about your sweet future that you've talked about here. Things kind of ended in this run with F-Zero Maximum Velocity for the Game Boy Advance. That's the last F-Zero we got. We haven't had
that was the height for me for F-Zero. That was the last one I was aware of.
Did you? So I played this in a bit. I actually really like this version of the game.
Yeah.
I think I may play more of this.
It's like they finally, you know, it kind of was already perfected from the get-go. F-Zero just worked, and they didn't really change much in the next ones. And this just worked too, but it just looked a little bit better, and it was on my handheld, and you know,
I
liked it.
DBA versions of these games are way underrated. I've had more fun. I have to admit, since getting back into this with you and going crazy with retro games, easily the stuff I've enjoyed emulating the most are GBA games. I don't know why.
Hey, look, it's me. I'm playing this.
Oh, is this you playing?
Yeah.
No, this is your channel. I uploaded
this. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. yeah, I'm with you, man. Game Boy Advance games have been blowing my mind. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, and they're so much better in emulation than they were on the actual.
Because it was a little tiny screen. Yeah, it was a little tiny postage stamp you had to play everything on, but being able to blow stuff up makes a big difference. But, you know, like Metroid Fusion, one of my favorite Metroid games, if not my favorite.
Yeah.
So many games are so good on there. The Minish Cap is an amazing Zelda game. You could just emulate GBA. I think you'd have a world of fun.
The games are so
it's fantastic time. Yeah.
They look so good on my Amber Nick, the GBA games do. They look, it's a much bigger screen. And it's those games suffered almost entirely because of the size of the screen, not because of the playability or the looks or anything else. It was just
and I loved a little screen. Portable game, don't get me wrong, but the by the time the SP XL or whatever it was called came out that had the bigger SP foldable screen, then we were cooking with gas. We had backlighting, and all those things. But original Game Boy, that wide ass thing with the no backlit nightmares, I hated that thing.
Mine really was purple.
You had a purple one, did you?
Yeah, I got a big old purple one. I'm watching this F-Zero thinking, man, all the obstacles on this track. Oh, if you ever read the instructions on how to play F-Zero, you will immediately realize how you've been playing F-Zero wrong all these years.
Yeah, you think you know what you're doing. You don't.
You don't have no idea.
Yeah, you straight up don't. So I'm going to recommend that. I'm going to say that if you're trying to decide which one to pick up and emulate and play, nothing wrong with F-Zero on the N6 or the SNES, but I think this is the superior game. I would play this.
I think it is too.
And either way, you're just in it for Captain Planet's a dick, good news, everybody. He's a dick in all of them.
He's a bounty hunter.
Captain Falcon. Gosh dang it. I keep saying his name wrong. Captain
Falcon. Yeah. And isn't
sorry, go ahead.
He was almost the SNES, the SNES. He was almost the mascot for SNES because we all just take for granted that, whenever there's a new thing from Nintendo, Mario's front and center. Well, that wasn't necessarily an absolute when we started going into the SNES, and it was talk that, F-Zero was made in-house with Nintendo, and, they spent all this marketing and time developing this character, and they wanted something hip they could sell to the Americans and other parts of the country or the world. And so that was they had toyed that idea. Captain Falcon could have been the SNES mascot there for us. Thank God.
Yeah, better heads prevailed. Exactly. So let me ask you this. Now I forgot. Oh, who's the other? There's another F-Zero character in Smash Brothers. Who is it?
Fox McCloud? Because Fox McCloud.
No, Fox.
I'm sorry. James McCloud. I meant to say James McCloud.
Oh, I don't know. I know there's one other dude, I'm not a big Smash guy, so I don't. That's why I don't know this.
McCloud was the doctor, right? He flew in the. So each on the F-Zero, there was four ship types, and each one of them controlled a little different. There's like any other race game. You have some that are faster acceleration. Some have a higher speed. Some are heavier duty. They can take more damage. And I want to say that James McCloud was the doctor, and he kind of drove one that was kind of fast but loose.
Yeah, but is he in the? Yeah. I just don't know what he's in. That's okay though.
I would think there's only four characters. There's the doc. There's like a samurai kind of guy. I think his ship's kind of tankish, if I remember correct. I can't remember though. Mm. And then there's one guy who's kind of like Captain Falcon's nemesis. Who the crap is that guy's name? Anyway, James McCloud you remember Fox McCloud? Remember that guy in Star Fox Universe? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's Star Fox, so he's, he's a fox.
Yeah, you remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember him. He sucks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Not a fan. So if we ever do a Star Fox episode, it's going to be Scott complaining a lot because I think Star Fox is vastly overrated.
You think so? Yeah. Actually, I think...
Not a fan.
Okay, I'm going to say yes. The original Star Fox gameplay, if it is a thing of his time. It was impressive at the moment that it came out, and it was restricted by a lot of, a lot of things, partly because of Miyamoto said, hey, we're only going to do this and this because we're going to keep it fun and we're going to keep it, within, these parameters. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. But then again, Star Fox, I think, has a great capacity for growth. Mm-hmm. I think it could go beyond what it's already done. I mean, he's got some recognition. I mean, when people see Star Fox, they usually know Star Fox.
Now, do you know we knew this was going to happen with this episode with F-Zero and Wipeout being on the table. But do you remember the names of the ships, of the companies of the ships, and I guess they're more like classes? I remember
these. I just flipped through those. The only reason why I know the other stuff is I read the comics. And if you give me something in a comic form, I'm going to retain it.
Well, here it is. You got AG Comics, AG Systems. I'm seeing how many I can remember here. Pfizer,
the drug company?
No. Okay. Although now that you say that, it's pretty funny, but it is Pfizer. Or Pfizer, maybe? Pfizer, whatever it is.
Phygenesis.
There it is.
What's her stupid name?
There's the Asenagi or Asenagi or how you say it. There's Arakon, right. Which was like.
So not Cenobites.
No,
that run a company?
They were all like future countries. Like America became Arakon.
Yeah.
And, you know, Europe became Eurochode or whatever.
Yeah, Eurochode. I love the fact that we, for a very long time, have said the corporate, you know, corporate is going to take over everything. There's no longer going to be countries. There's just going to be corporations.
Yeah. People love that. I think it's unfortunately starting to happen, but whatever.
I think it's unfortunately more true than we wanted.
It's more true now than it's ever been. I'm not saying we haven't gone full, not Michelin Man, Miracle Man. What is it? What is it? What's the movie with Stallone in it? He goes, Millennium Man. What is it?
Millennium Man.
No.
It's Millennium Man. Shuffle the three shells and see if you can find the title.
Yeah, the three shells and the Taco Bell. Marathon Man. Jeez. No, not Marathon Man. Is that
Marathon Man.
That's not it.
Rocky in the Future. Future Rocky is the name of the game. Don't you tell him, Avian. It's Demolition Man.
Demolition Man. Brian didn't know either. You know, he saw it in the chat when I did. Cheater. Anyway, my point is, like, we're not that far. We're not full on, you know, Blade Runner or anything like that, but it's more true than ever. You know, there's like three companies so big that they kind of run everything. I don't want to get conspiratorial. Brian, get out your tinfoil hat. All right. You got to wear it right now.
Too late. I'm already wearing it. What are you talking? I plate each of my baseball caps with aluminum foil. You didn't know that?
I did not know that. No. Now, did you ever play?
It's itchy.
A game that I never knew existed called Hover Racing in 1997.
I had never heard of hover racing until I started looking for these anti-grav racers, and this was mentioned.
Yeah.
And never played it.
Some people really think fondly of this game. I don't remember it at all. Now, the version we're looking at in this video is not the PlayStation 1 version.
That's a way newer version. That is kind of sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of nice looking. The PlayStation version looked a lot like what you'd expect, real jittery and garbagey. This is like a kind of a remaster type thing, but it is called Hover Racer. This is the actual game. And it's really just, it's Wipeout.
It's Wipeout. But what's funny is the original Hover Racer is really F-Zero. So, because it was, that was what I was talking about earlier, the Net Eurosi, however you say it, Eurosi. Net Eurose. I'm going with that. Anyway. The
black PlayStation dev kit. Yes, that's
the PlayStation consumer dev kit. It was written on that, and you didn't even have, if you were writing it on that, you didn't have access to all of the memory that was in a PlayStation. So the fact that you could make something that looked commercial grade good is a freaking amazing feat.
Oh yeah, no,
and
it was a big deal.
This was distributed on like when you used to get magazines. You would get magazines, you get a demo disc, and this was distributed with that. And people really lost their shit about this game. It was pretty darn good. It was a 3D, it's a real 3D F-Zero game before the N64.
It's a bummer. You know what's a bummer? It's a bummer that Sony got away from that kind of, let's give the tools to the players and let them make cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think Sony could have really parlayed that somewhere, and then they've all tried it. Like Microsoft tried it certainly with what was it called? They had forgot the name of the tools. They probably still exist, but for the 360, you could make a bunch of games, and they had like a marketplace for it and all that stuff.
Yeah. What the crap is it?
But I can't think of the name.
Yeah, Dev. It's a lot. There's a lot different system now. But Ken Kutaragi really spearheaded this, saying that. Let's put the power to the people, right?
Yeah.
And let them make these games. It was kind of unheard of. It wasn't the first time it was ever done, but it was kind of unheard of.
It's the thing that PCs have been doing for ages, and they wanted in on that. They wanted like, everyone's making mods, or they're making their version of Doom because they have these tools. And I think it's still, weirdly, it's still kind of that domain. The PC still owns that. You know, if you want to go get Unity or download Unreal and make a game, you can. You want to make something simple with 2D graphics, there are engines to do that, and you don't need much to do it. Whereas with consoles, you're still kind of locked out.
You know, it was kind of, you kind of had to do it anyway. We still had to plug into a PC to compile and do everything you needed to do.
Sure.
So, you were still kind of tethered into that regardless. So
yeah, no matter what, but just letting you make stuff that then could end up on that console just wasn't an option.
And some, you know, some layer developers, we won't get deep into it because we need to have a whole episode on it, but some developers who did these indie games, you know, eventually got a real job working with real studios because they were able to, you know, to prove themselves. Isn't that the dream?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the dream of a young game developer? You know, $7.99 seems ridiculous, but when you think about the PlayStation 1 original price and you go, I could basically start a business here. Maybe I go in with my friend, you know, and that wasn't too bad.
No, not too bad at all.
End of the world.
I totally agree. For those watching at home, if you're watching the video, you're seeing me play this game called Power Drome on the Atari ST from 1988, which I actually think is pretty impressive for its time. But it's a slow.
It's a slog. It's 3D rendered, right? Yeah. It's at the arcade, I believe, right? And it's Atari.
It's an ST, home computer.
Yeah. And so, it was so much slower because you got to render everything. So it's like you're really, it's more like you're bobsledding or, you know.
Slow bobsled. And the guy, and if you're playing that thing and just running into walls, don't feel bad. That's what everyone did. It was not an easy game to play.
The next game in the list, I don't know if you ever played, but I played as much of StunRunner.
I love StunRunner.
Atari Arcade 1989 as I ever played any Wipeout.
Yep.
It to me is more Wipeout. Awesome. They never list this as an influence. F-Zero nor Wipeout never list StunRunner as the influence. But to me, by the time I saw either one of those, I was going, oh, this is kind of like StunRunner.
There's a lot of it. Yeah, I can totally see the comparisons. Obviously, StunRunner was more like, here is a series of tubes that you can go whip around in, and here's also some combat.
Other ships.
Other ships. Like, it's just, clearly there are differences. Yeah. But yes, this should probably be on the list of hover racer things.
There's battle combat racing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in that behind the car 3D. You have to run over stars. The reason why you run over the stars, and it makes noise every time. I hope you can play some of the audio of that.
Oh, I can do it
every time you run over a star, it makes a little noise. And then you basically powering up, and then you can use like a explosive and knock everybody out.
Yeah, there it goes ding, ding, ding. And it eventually.
It's fast. It's fast. You're penalized when you hit other things. You get stall effects. I mean, to me, it's all here.
Yeah, it's a cool. I love StunRunner. Are you kidding? I put a lot of quarters in that damn thing. And I also remember it pressing the hell out of me at the time. I was like, whoa, what? Games don't look like this. What is this?
They didn't. Arcade 1989 StunRunner. You sit. It was like on a bike too. But it wasn't like the kind of arcade bikes where you lean or anything. Mm-hmm. You just sat on this cyber chunky bike thing, and you had like a steering wheel. But it was like one of those split steering wheels. It wasn't like a round steering wheel. So, but yeah, it was, that thing blew my mind.
Let's see if we can find a picture of that bike. Yeah, there it is. It was like this solid state, weird. The whole machine moved, right? It wasn't just the bike that moved.
I don't think it moved. Maybe I'm remembering incorrectly. I don't think it moved. I think you just.
I thought it rocked a little bit, had some
motion. You might be right. If it was much movement, it wasn't a lot, because I played a lot of those motorcycle games later on, and those things moved a lot.
Yeah, there's the StunRunner cabinet, everybody. It was a weird setup, but it ate a lot of my quarters.
I loved it.
Congratulations. Oh, I loved it. Yeah. It's when Sony started.
And the
Sony.
Car would, and the way you took damage was so smart. It would, you know, you would lose pieces of your ship, and that's how you would know that your ship was damaged. There was no like.
Little polygonal pieces go flying off.
Yeah, little polygonal pieces went off, and you think you recollect them. You could get them back if you collected so many stars at the next round or whatever. But that thing was my jam.
Yeah, I liked that game a lot. I haven't played that in years and years and years. But maybe we'll get around to it. Well, all right, there you have it. That's kind of what happened. And I gotta say, like, it's a genre that's underserved now, unless you go poking around a little bit. I want to tell you guys about a series.
Oh, good, because I couldn't find nothing. Give me.
Let me give you a couple of games that I think are worth your time, and one of them just launched a sequel to an excellent game. If you never played the Redout games, then you owe it to yourself to check them out. So Redout 1 already exists. It's great in its own right. Redout 2 just landed. I want to say it's on Epic Game Store as well as, or PC Game Store as well as consoles.
currently enjoying 9 out of 10. Is that what I'm seeing here?
Yes, it's doing real well. And they and it is these people. I mean, it is 100% a Wipeout, not ripoff, but it's Wipeout. I mean, they've recreated Wipeout.
The love letter.
Yeah, in a way, it's faster than Wipeout. Obviously, we're running on a new engine. It's beautiful. It's it's as modern as these games get.
They look like drones too, right? They got propeller blades and stuff that
depends on the ship. The ship this guy's driving is like that. There's some that are chunkier, that are maybe slower but have better maneuverability. That whole thing's in there. There's combat elements. There's also a keep your nose up or down kind of thing. So there's certain, like, if you go into a loop, you're going to want to hold the control in a certain way so that you're not grinding your front end down.
That's like F-Zero. They have that. I didn't realize that in F-Zero you did that, but apparently.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
I kept failing at my my jumps because you had to keep your nose up. I didn't know it until I read it.
Well, if you want to play a game where it is just like directly ripped out of the brain of somebody who loved Wipeout for their whole young life, Red Out 1 and 2 are 100% those games. I think Red Out 1 even supports VR. I don't know if the new one does.
Oh, that's too much.
Too much. Make you kind of sick.
I'll never return.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. And in I run it in 4K at 120 frames. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Beautiful, beautiful game. So go get that. And 2 right now is just killing it. They got the reviews through the roof. And I'm gonna sing their song. It's a good one. There are others, though. There are plenty of other games. Lots of interesting, smaller, kind of indie racers that sort of try to, tap into this. But the big names in it, both Wipeout now and F-Zero for sure, because F-Zero hasn't done anything forever, ever. Wipeout hasn't done anything new since the Omega Collection on the PS4, which was early in the PS4's era, so like 2013, I think. There's been nothing new since either for either of those two franchises. So I guess what I'm saying is, here's me and Brian saying, hey, Nintendo, Sony, dust off your shit.
Yeah.
Get it, run it under some warm water, all right? Get a cloth, wipe it down.
Pop it in the microwave for 10 seconds.
That's right. Pet it nicely. Let it know you love it, and then boom, new games. Get it going.
Boom.
All right. All right. Hey Brian, let's move on to what
he's got.
Yeah. How about this right here? Let's do this.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess Our Game. Yeah, that's Guess right. It. Old games. We play a little audio. We try to stump each other as to what it is. And I'm going to start this week and see if you can guess my game. Oh, I didn't put the year. Crap. I should put the year.
You should give me some kind of year.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'll tell you what. Here, I'll play this first, and then I'll get the year while I'm playing it. All right. Here we go.
Listen up, Martinez Security M42 Squadron. This is your company leader, Frederick Burford. Here's your briefing for the upcoming mission. It's a joint military show with the 7th Fleet and SDF in the Pacific near the Midway Islands. Martinez Security has been given special permission to take part in this military exhibition. This is almost unheard of for a private military company, but I don't intend.
We also settle.
You can tell I'm skipping at the end. All right. Any guesses for this? Now, this game is, you're going to say, Scott, no fair. This isn't retro. It came out in 2010, but it came out on a device that I still consider to be rather retro. And I'll tell you what that is. It's a PSP. So let's see if you can get it from that. Here's some games.
Is it the companion piece to Battleship movie?
No, but you wouldn't be wrong in terms of the level of cheese we're talking about here. So this is some actual gameplay.
You're doing good,
buddy. You're doing good.
This is a PSP.
This is a PSP. Very late release for the PSP.
The year
was
what year?
2010 for, let's see, 2010. Japan. August in Japan, August in North America, September in Europe.
I mean, it's
PSP.
Is it like an Ace Combat or something like that? One of those stupid games?
Damn you. You got it. It's Ace Combat, everybody. Ace Combat, Joint Assault.
That's about all I can think of that had been in every freaking system freaking since the beginning of time for PlayStations.
If you've never played any of the Ace Combat games, you owe it to yourself to try. Like 7, I think, is either on Game Pass or the new PS Plus middle tier. Can't remember where I saw it. Anyway, it's pretty easily gettable.
it's pretty easy gettable.
It's pretty good gettable. The Ace Combat games are stupid. The stories are stupid. They're like anime as hell. But the combat and the video and the visuals are top freaking notch. The gameplay's great. I really, really like them. Join Assault. Of course, you were all working together jointly to assault a giant marijuana cigarette, a big joint. No, that's not true. You were just fighting some fake thing. It's like some near future. Oh no, they're attacking Tokyo. We got
to
do our shit.
It sounds just like the plot to Battleship. I'm telling you, man. I would have sworn it was Battleship. It sounds like the same plot.
Yeah, no aliens.
It's the same plot and everything.
Well, you'd have to have aliens to hit the plot, but I take it.
Well, I wasn't sure if the aliens were coming yet in the clip, but yeah.
No, they definitely don't have the. Well,
but I mean, that was basically the whole setup. It's like, oh, it's an international thing, and we're all meeting up, and we're going to do the thing, and we're going to shoot the ships and stuff, and we're going to do a training exercise, and then aliens show up.
Yeah. Well, if you play, is it 7 is the most recent? That game is like photoreal. It's crazy. It looks really good. Yeah. All right, Brian.
I've been blown away lately. I've been playing retro so much. I actually went back the other day and I looked at a new wrestling game, and I was like, "Is this real footage?"
Really?
I'm like, "Is this real people?"
Oh, this is great. You've been far away from it. You know what? That's actually kind of cool that you get to have like that wow factor again that we're all used to now, right?
It blew my mind. I was like, I can't tell reality anymore.
Oh, I love that. That'd be like going, see, I always want to do this. I want to go back in time to myself, like 1992, right. Scott, and say, hey, put that 3-button Genesis controller down for a second, Scott. Take a look at, you know, Last of Us Part 2 or something, and have me just go, what the frick? This is impossible.
How is that even possible?
No, you can't do this. Or even just like a recent Call of Duty or something. Like, yeah, I would blow myself's mind.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be amazing. Like I said. All right. Brian, yours is from 1998.
And, mine's from the 1998. A little more retro.
All right. Let me see if I can figure it out without knowing anything else. Here you go.
It's showtime. Good gravy.
What the hell? 98?
98 on the PlayStation.
PlayStation 1?
PlayStation 1, PSX.
Oh, that would make sense, yeah.
That's better.
You gonna take a poop? I don't know what this... Okay, give me another hint. What else?
Let's see. It's a single-player video game developed by Activision.
Okay.
And published by Activision.
Oh, this is the remake of this is the Pitfall Harry remake thing.
Pitfall Harry, that's right.
Is that
Pitfall
it? Harry.
Could you give me the real name and not just Pitfall Harry?
Oh shoot, I had it too. Pitfall. Wasn't this is a port of like the
it's got
this was
Bruce Campbell in it. If that helps you any.
Well, it always helps.
Excuse me. Swing the vine north by using that D-pad of yours.
There he is.
There it is. That was the final clue. I ended the clip at that.
I don't know what the.
I'm gonna give you a Pitfall Harry, but it's Pitfall 3D Beyond the Jungle.
Oh, all right. What a dumb name that is. Don't you think? Beyond the jungle.
I wonder what happens.
Oh, he's in the jungle, and then he goes beyond it, I'm guessing, in the game?
Probably, exactly. So, yeah, I think everything is in the title. I think it tells you everything you need to know. It's Pitfall. It's in 3D, and it's not in the jungle.
Was it good?
Beyond the jungle.
Don't remember if it was good.
Yeah, it actually did pretty good, and I think in part, in my opinion, to Bruce Campbell's funniness and it being on a PlayStation. It was definitely finally a Pitfall that didn't suck since the first one.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Oof, it's ugly, but.
Oh, it's PlayStation.
Yeah. Well, yes, but it's, So this had like, they went kind of 3D grid here.
Yeah.
With this thing. You know what I'm thinking of? Oh, I know what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the Pitfall games that were on the Genesis and SNES that were still 2D, but they were like, you know, 16-bit graphics and.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Big chunky characters and all that. This definitely is more of a like, hey,
hey, look at us. We're like Tomb Raider. How's it going? Yeah. Hello,
hey, look at the Tomb Raider thing we're doing here. I don't know if
you like Tomb Raider, right? Yeah, we got something for you then.
I might. I mean, I would probably play this if I knew. I did, honestly, this
I hope
the
you
first,
can play it.
I think it's the first I ever saw it. I don't think I've ever seen this being played. So
I have not played it. I have seen people play it, but I have never played it. So I'm excited to look at that soon.
Yeah. Not Why isn't he? Away. So he's Pitfall Harry. Well, I don't know. I have questions about Pitfall, but guess what? Good news. Stick around because we have an announcement about next week.
Isn't it weird that his first name is Pitfall and his last name is Harry? Weird.
I think he's supposed to be Harry Pitt, comma, Fall. So they're
fall,
telling him.
Okay, maybe so. Okay.
He's got his Harry Pitts and then he's supposed to fall. That's the deal.
You'll have to tune in next week to find out.
Find out then.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Time for emails. Here's a quick one from Nikolai Galvin.
It's cool. Galvin.
It's a cool name. Sounds like a James Bond villain or something.
I know, right?
Anyway, he wrote into playretroshow@gmail.com. That's playretroshow@gmail.com. Hello, Retro, he says. One time in the 90s, I went to a Blockbuster to rent a new NES game for a sweet three-day weekend. Oh, that sounds amazing. Doesn't that sound amazing?
Yes, please. Let's head by the Pizza Hut.
I got to start having those. I got to have those kind of weekends again. Where I just don't.
Mountain Dew.
I don't think about anything but that game I got and me on my butt and the food I'm going to eat and the couch I'm going to wreck. Anyway, says I was just a kid in elementary school. Well, you're a young lad. And I was ready to lose myself into a long weekend of gaming. I chose the game Fire and Ice based on the cover art alone. I had no idea what the game was, but it looked like an adventure I could spend some days on. I get home and I open the box and I see the cartridge entitled Fire and Ice and I pop it in. I repeat its name to you because when the game booted up, it was not, in fact, Fire and Ice, but a golfing game.
What?
For a second, I thought maybe this turns into a sort of dungeon runner or something with golf as a theme. But no, to my disappointment, it was just a golf game. And a really hard one at that. I forced myself to play because my parents wouldn't exchange it no matter how much I told them it wasn't the right game. I think your parents are lame. I've never had this happen to me before or since, but I'm wondering if someone like this or something like this has ever happened to you guys. Cheers. P.S. A golfing dungeon runner does sound pretty epic now, to be honest. Nikolai. It did happen to me once in this exact scenario, except it was a CD. It was, I think, a PS1 game. And what I had got at the store when he got home and opened it was not the disc that they said was in there. Now, I could have probably solved this problem by checking the disc before we left. I didn't. So when we got home, I opened it.
No one ever does that, right?
No one does that. Yeah. So that's just some clerk dude screwing up. That's all that was.
And if someone did, you'd look at him like, what? You don't trust me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I worked at Blockbuster, so I have Blockbuster stories aplenty. And I do have an NES game cartridge story. A lady came into Blockbuster after renting The Little Mermaid the night before.
Yeah.
Threw it on the counter, threw it at me. She was pissed. Yeah. I was like, dang, what happened?
Yeah.
She's like, I want you to know this broke my VCR. And then she walked off. And I was like,
shut up, dude. Really?
And I was
this
like,
really happened?
Okay. And then she walked in. She was leaving the door. She didn't left the door. I was still in shock. I was like, wait. Trying to connect the two things together. And I was like, it's a cartridge for a game system.
That's terrible. I used to do hardware support for some computer stuff in the late 90s. And we had it was a radio show for a local radio station. And a guy called in and said that he couldn't figure out how to get a Pop-Tart out of his floppy drive. So that was cool. I assume his kid did it, although we never heard who did it. We just knew that there was a Pop-Tart in there.
He wasn't going any further. I did want to know more of the story. I just hate that lady walked out so fast. I just wanted to find, you know, at what point in time, how long did she try to push that thing in there?
Yeah.
Before she realized, you know, it's like.
And how big is her tinfoil hat now in 2022 is what I'm wondering. She's still with us.
I don't know, but it made me laugh.
That's pretty funny.
I've got plenty of video rental stories. Anytime you want to, we can start a whole podcast on that. I used to work after I worked at Blockbuster for a while, I worked for like one of those small mom and pop rental places as well. And they had what we call an adult room.
Oh,
and,
do you have beads?
Yeah, more
was
than
it beads?
Once.
Was it beads?
Yeah, you know, no beads. We had a buzzer door. You had to buzz people in.
Okay.
So it made lots of noise. I'd like to go back into the room. Okay. And, you know, and they would sneak back in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I know more than once some of my coworkers, Slacker coworkers, you know how porn titles, we've talked about here before, you know how porn titles are similar to
The next Star Trek, the next penetration, or
more than once,
Shaving Ryan's more Privates, than once that kind of thing.
Did one of those parody films get behind a real film, and people would get home?
I love that story.
Yeah, I think Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs came back with an angry parent one time.
Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, those days. Yeah. It's too bad we don't have those days anymore.
Yeah.
It's much worse now, but, you know, whatever.
Let's make them again.
That's fantastic. All right. Hey, look what we're doing next week. You heard us mention Pitfall Harry. Well, you're going to hear a lot more about him because next week we're talking about Pitfall. And not only Pitfall, but what is really the beginnings of what will become the monolith and turd machine that is sometimes modern day Activision. But where did they start? How did it come from? Atari turns 50. Let's find out. With Pitfall Harry.
Atari turns 50, man.
Yep, one of the games heralded as one of the best games, if not the best game, to ever grace the 2600. Is it still hold up today?
It's the one I played the most.
Yeah,
I've played it a lot, too. I've been feeling real nostalgic. I came this close to buying an Atari Pong today.
Oh, my gosh.
For about $70.
What happened to that? You were looking at a 360 that was like another silver one or something. What were you doing?
Yeah, I got that one. It's on the way. I got that one. I sent you a link to that one. Yeah. I got that one. That one's on the way, baby.
You're not even going to play that. You're never going to even turn that on, that thing.
But look how good it's going to look back here. Now, that's the later one, so it's got HDMI.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've actually logged in. It'll still connect to my live account and everything else. I've logged into my other 360 I have. That's right. I have two.
Yeah, you got a few. I got a black one over here. I don't think it works either.
I got a black one. It works.
Yeah?
I have a white one. It also works. I have another white one. I got to find out if it works.
I think I have a problem. My old white one didn't.
Please
gave
support
it to somebody.
My problem.
Yeah, by support going Brian's problem.
Patreon.com.
And my son has my PS3. I should probably get it back from him. Because why? Why?
You should probably get it. Why? Why would you going to do with it?
Well, he's not going to do it. I can guarantee you he's not going to do anything with it. It's just sitting in some box somewhere. And that's a waste of everyone's time. Anyway, more on that next week. Pitfall Harry and the Adventures of Pitfall. Where did it come from? What's the deal? Why did Activision parlay that into the just meganaut monster it is today? And we can lament some of that as well. So anyway, come on back for that. That'll be next week right here on Play Retro. In the meantime, it's about to be a new month. Perfect time to hop on board to the Patreon at patreon.com/playretro. That's right, patreon.com/playretro. It's a great way to support the show and keep Brian and his addiction going, as well as mine. If you would like to help us get steeped even deeper into the world of retro, this is the way to do it. We've had at least a couple of new patrons since last week, and we love you guys. So keep those coming. We'll mention some names next week. Patreon.com/playretro. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is our email address if you'd like to send us any of your thoughts and comments. We're also on Twitter @PlayRetroShow. Great time to find out when we go live if you want to come and watch us do this thing. That's fine with us as well. Frogpants.com/playretro for everything else. All right, Brian, is there anything you'd like to add to any of this before we cut it out of here today?
I do these every night. I stream almost every night, 6 p.m. Eastern time. I play these retro games we're talking about now. As a matter of fact, if you've tuned in this past week and you probably can still catch the VODs, you can watch me on twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway.
Nice. I'm going to start a small series called Random Retro, where I pick one at random out of a giant library of just full of retro games and go bink, like I'm looking in a phone book. Just close my eyes and point, and whatever it is, we play that on
me
stream.
Me and you.
Yeah.
Me and you are going to figure out how to use that stupid net play that's built into the RetroArch so that we can play some of that PlayStation classic goodness. What's it going to be, our two-player net play? What are we going to do?
I don't know. I want to know how that stuff works. I kind of want to play the old NES version, if it's possible to do this, or the PlayStation version. I don't care. But the old Micro Machines game. Oh, man, I loved those.
Loved those.
Is it split screen?
Yes.
Yes.
No, it's same screen.
I would do it.
It's same screen.
Oh, same screen. Oh, yeah. Screen sharing. Okay.
Screen sharing, because you're sitting in the room there, and the whole point is to try to beat the other guy out of the screen view. It's kind of weird how it works, but it's great. Oh, man, I love those games. Anyway, that'll be coming up soon right here on Play Retro. In the meantime, go play something retro. We'll see you next week.
Take the wheel, Miyamoto!
Miyamoto!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Now you're playing with power. Super power.
That guy's even say power is super power.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.